cliffcentral.com. Please note that the views expressed and the advice provided in this show are for general advice and entertainment purposes only. Nothing stated should be treated as a substitute for your own independent legal advice based on your own specific facts and objectives. Therefore, the presenter and CliffCentral.com accept no liability of any nature whatsoever, either expressed or implied.
Law, like you've never heard it before. The Laws of Life with Gary Hertzberg on CliffCentral.com.
San Bonani, I'm Benji Schomburg, and this is The Laws of Life on CliffCentral.com. If you're wondering where Mr. Gary Hertzberg is, he is away and he needs his break. He's been a hardworking man this year. And in his absence, he has given myself and Lionel Makoko-Klela the opportunity to run the show. How are you doing? Great segment, the first one. We chatted to Lerato from Out. Did you enjoy it?
No, I really did. I mean, it was educational, and I just hope that we as people of South Africa can actually take the message to heart and really stop killing one another as a result of our sexual preferences.
100%. Yeah. Long way to go, but I'm sure we can do it.
Yeah, I mean, this is the start. We got to start talking about it and also just make sure that the dialogue becomes a norm and people would actually change as a result of what we hear. Because that's the only way. I mean, you've got your friends. Whenever they talk about this, things you can actually engage with them. I also have my friends, I can engage with them, and it all starts there. And eventually, as a whole, the country start talking and we make the difference that we want to see in our communities.
No, definitely. So before I play my interview with the SA Bachelor of the Year, I want to thank the man that made this show possible, Mr. Gary Hertzberg. He said to me he's away on a much deserved break, may I add, and he gave me the opportunity to go to the northwest of the country, Harte Beersport, also known as Hartie's, to interview the newly crowned SA Bachelor of the Year and see what he's up to since receiving the title. The Iowa drive was absolutely beautiful. The mountains, it was really great. The whole experience was a pleasure. So without further ado, here's my interview with Emmanuel Peterson, SA Bachelor of the Year 2016. Enjoy.
Enjoy, guys.
CliffCentral.com.
So, Benji Schomburg here at the Melody Dining Theatre in Harte Beersport Dam, also known as Hartie's, with the new SA Bachelor of the Year 2016, Emmanuel Peterson. He's a performer, singer, actor, motivational speaker, and recently, as I've stated, crowned SA Bachelor of the Year. And we're here because he gave my girlfriend and I some tickets, and we're looking very, very forward to watch the Little Shop of Horrors tonight. And also, you also perform in The Phantom and Rock, also over here at this theatre, and they call it the theatre known to bring art and music to all. So thanks so much for giving me your time.
Absolutely. Benji, why do I need to bribe you to come talk to me? Why do I need to give you tickets to a theatre show?
No, not at all. I love the drive. I love hearing what you're getting up to. It's not all about that, 100% not. So yeah, the last time we did chat, you were the finalist, and now you are the bachelor. How do you feel?
You know, it took a couple of weeks to really sink in. The week after being crowned, and I need to say thank you to all your listeners and basically everyone at Cliff Central for getting behind me. You guys really supported me. The week after, it was absolutely crazy. I mean, we had to fly to, where was it, Cape Town, for TV interviews. It was ridiculous. And then obviously we won a London trip, so trying to get all that organized, we had a week to get everything
crazy,
organized. So that visas, it was ridiculous. So getting back from London, we'll talk about that a bit later.
Yeah, no, definitely.
But getting back from London, for the first time, it actually started sinking in. So
definitely.
Yeah, it's an incredible feeling.
And in 2015, it wasn't one of your best years. I got a post that you said. It says, 2015 was probably one of the worst years of my life. And while I was going through so many negative things, all I could think of was negative thoughts. Fast forward a year and we're sitting here at this amazing place in Hartie's and chatting about it. So you've come a very long way. What advice do you have for people who are stuck at their work, stuck in their relationships, just filled with negativity? How do they pop that bubble of negativity?
You know what? You've got to make a decision whether you're going to stay in that negative bubble I like to call it a bubble, or whether you can actually pop the bubble and move on. And in my case, I had a very successful business, for the people that don't know. Very successful business. I was a millionaire at the age of probably, 27, 28. Made a lot of money in property. Unfortunately, the economy took its toll, and I'm very stubborn. We always talk about how stubborn I am.
And you lost all that money.
I lost everything. I lost my business all in a question of a couple of months. And, you know, you go into this negative space immediately, where you just want to go depro, and you contemplate suicide and all these negative thoughts. That's the negative thoughts that I talk about. But the fact of the matter is, once you decide you want to get out of that, if you're in an unhappy relationship, if you're in an unhappy job, the only people that's going to get you out there is yourself. So my advice would be, take a stand, get a backbone, and actually, you know, get yourself out of it. Because no one else is going to do it for you. So, yeah.
You say backbone. What do you mean by backbone? Because you said the most irritating thing ever is someone with no backbone. What do you mean by that?
Oh, my goodness. I can't tell you how it irritates me. Backbone to me is, if you believe in something, you stand for that. If you are a gay person, you know, be proudly gay. If you are a transgender person, stand for that. Whether people like it or whether they don't, you know, stand for it and believe in what you stand for. If you're one of these people that like to skin it behind people's backs, it shows that you don't have backbone. Rather go up to the person and tell them to their face.
100%.
I'm one of those people, come to me, you don't like me, it's great, I'll have respect for you, just come tell me in my face, and give me a valid reason why you don't. Don't just, I don't like you, Emmanuel, because...
I don't like you because you're in the little shop of horrors.
Exactly, whatever, you know, that's not a valid reason, so...
Some people might think it is, but yeah.
First watch the show, Benji.
Yes,
first
of course, of course. No, I can't wait to do it. And obviously, one of your biggest inspirations is your mom. You said she would, her last meal, if there was a little piece of chicken on her plate, she'd give it to you and your family, and she's your biggest inspiration. So how did she feel when you were actually named SA Bachelor of the Year?
You know, it was quite funny because they were sitting like right in front of the stage. They had the best seat in the house, and obviously no one knew up until the last point who was going to win. But I was sitting there looking at this table, and you kind of contemplate while you're on stage, you think, okay, but maybe they're sitting there for a reason. Maybe they're sitting there so they're the first people to see you. And I thought once they announced my name, my mom was going to jump up for joy and run up. And they were just sitting there, not shocked, because they believed I was going to win, with tears in their eyes, which was incredible. But they weren't the stage mom or the stage family that jumped up and ran to stage. They actually gave me my moment and gave all the organizers and all the judges the moment to congratulate me and all the media. And then they came up and, you know, hugged me. So they're incredibly proud.
No, sure, definitely. No,
incredibly proud.
That's amazing. And I believe you are studying something at the moment?
Yeah, you know what? I've got a couple of job opportunities because obviously I'm a performer. But
understandable, yeah.
As you know, in South Africa, performers, you know, you just get by. You don't really live. And I'm at a point now in my life where I want to settle down. I want to buy a house. So I'm got offered this position. So obviously I've got to do a bit of studying behind it. And yeah, in due course, I'll let everyone know about it. But so I'm writing exams next week.
What you studying?
Well, it's financial stuff. So okay.
So
a lot of work. A lot of work.
I don't know where you're gonna fit in studying. I mean, you have to.
Well, last night I had to put about 4 or 5 hours study
wow.
in, and I actually posted a selfie. I'm known as the selfie king.
Okay.
And I was pulling my hair out of my head because I'm not used to studying anymore. So I read over the same sentence like 20 billion times before I get what it's saying. And then it's like something stupid. But this morning I studied again, and I actually took some stuff in. So I think my brain's been trained.
Because, I mean, I've looked at your schedule. I've got it over here. I mean, 7th, the 9th, the 10th, the 16th, the 17th. I mean, do you have time to even sleep? You know what I mean?
Well, luckily, I'm one of those people, I don't sleep a lot to start off with. If I get like 4 or 5 hours sleep, then I'm lucky, and I'm happy with that. Yeah. And I'm very happy with that, so that's perfect.
No, definitely. And your London trip, how was it? Obviously, you were still had the whole you the SA Bachelor of the Year. It hasn't sunk in after the trip. Did it sink in during it? When did it kind of sink
in? During the trip, actually, what happened was we were walking, doing sightseeing the one day, and there was a Saudi Arabian T TV or news anchor, whatever you call it, reporter, trying to do interviews of people walking on the street. Now, in London, anyone that's been there, everyone's minding their own business. They're running up and down the whole time, going from one place to the other. Everyone walks wherever they want to be or takes the underground. And coincidentally, this reporter called me over, and I was like, okay, let's talk about this. Yeah. And she asked me, you know, about the child crisis all over the world, and especially in Saudi Arabia. And it's so close to the Talk Initiative that, you know, she did like a whole interview with me, like half an hour interview with me, which is incredible. So Then it kind of sunk in what has happened, you know, the fact that I am now SA Bachelor of the Year.
Did she know you were SA Bachelor?
Well, she asked me, what am I doing here? Am I on holiday? So I said, yes, I am, but I'm South African Bachelor of the Year. Wow, and then she was like, wow, okay, what do you stand for? What do you do?
Yeah, that's amazing.
And it just happened to work out. Unfortunately, you know, we can't see the interview because we in South Africa.
Maybe
so,
on YouTube, maybe.
Well, I've been trying to look for it, but the problem is they script and their language and stuff. You know,
need a translator.
Exactly.
Next year,
So I'm still looking for it, but as soon as I find it, then I'll actually share it.
So you've already hit international boundaries per se.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's amazing. That's really great. And your best part, I know you went to everywhere. You went to the Book of Mormon at the West End, you went everywhere. What was your best part?
Come on. You know what? Okay, best part. I'm going to have to say, because I'm a performer, and especially because I'm a performer, Jock Momberg from SA Bachelor went and spoiled us. We didn't know about this ahead of time with the Book of Mormon at the West End. And, you know, it's incredible. If once you've seen a show in the West End, it makes South African performances, and I'm sorry to say that because I'm a performer myself, in a play at the moment.
Yeah.
And, you know, it makes us look like small fry. It was incredible. So that was one of the parts. But overall, what I have to say is on the Sunday evening, before we came back the Monday evening, we went on a dinner cruise down the Thames.
Yeah.
And it was, it was incredible. It was at night, all the lights were shining. We went through Tower Bridge. It's just beautiful.
So
puts everything under perspective. So those two things I would have to say.
But one, you have to choose. Just try. I know it's hard. I mean, obviously, I could never choose one if I had the opportunity to go. But
you know what I'm going to take with me for the rest of my life? Probably the cruise.
Really?
The visuals, the cruise. I mean, you're always going to see another show, hopefully, again on West End or at West End. But the one thing that I will is just the atmosphere while cruising down the River Thames.
So. And Trey Parker, the writer for South Park, he also wrote this book.
He wrote the
so
play,
must have been witty, funny, intelligent.
And he pushed boundaries. I mean, some of the numbers, I was sitting there, I was like, oh my word, you know, if you're a religious person and you're not open-minded, if you're not going to watch the play right to the end, then don't go watch it because you are going to be in shock.
Yeah.
But if you actually watch it to the end, then, you know, there's a bigger story behind the story.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And Harrods of London, they say that it is things for all people everywhere. Is that true?
It's definitely true. You know, it's probably about 6 or 7 stories. It's a whole block in London is Harrods.
Yeah.
You walk in there from designer clothes to, you know, unknown brands. Harrods has its own brands. I mean, they've got their own. If you think Woolworths in South Africa is spectacular, you go into Harrods, their food section. It's orgasmic for your eyes, if I can put it like that. You can't. I mean, we spent about 3 or 4 hours in there, and it felt like 5 minutes because it's just so big. From furniture, designer furniture, to designer clothes. I mean, the one jacket I tried on, I think I can't remember how many pounds it was, but converted, it's probably about 45k. And I was just, I want this, but obviously, you know, I mean, 45k is ridiculous.
No, not gonna happen. I know you are the SA Bachelor, but that's the bit too far.
Maybe one day.
Yeah, exactly. And you said, coming December-wise, you said Christmas is a time perfect time to give back. There are too many people and animals who have struggled during this time. So while everyone has the spirit of giving, let's all stand together and give back. So your schedule, I've got a few things that you are getting up to. You've got obviously the Little Shop of Horrors coming up. You've got the Phantom and Rock at the, obviously all at the Melody Theatre here. What's the most thing you're looking forward to this December? Obviously most of it, but what's the most fundraising that you're going to be looking forward to?
You know what, next week on the 16th we're doing a myself and Bart Bedard, they one of my sponsors, because as everyone knows I've got a beard, it's a bit short at the moment, for the Little Shop of Horrors, because I play three different characters. But we're doing a fundraiser for the Ninth Day Animal Shelter, which is in Krugersdorp. And you know what, I've actually invited the one of the organizers to come talk with me, because you know, he knows even more about this. I'm just putting my voice behind it and to get people involved and to raise more funds for them, because it's a shelter that really needs help. I mean, you know, humans are one thing, but we can still help ourselves. Animals can't.
Definitely. And they don't have a voice, obviously.
They've got no voice.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
And I'm sitting opposite Francois Ferry. He's obviously helping you on this.
That's correct, yes.
And he's got a purple beard with, I can't even explain it. It's got dots everywhere. It's got glitter.
It's called a glitter beard, Benji.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Yo, what are you guys doing for this?
Well, what we're basically doing is the SPCA in Krugersdorp closed down a few years ago, and it's been completely run down. I mean, if you want to put it, the homeless has actually gone in and ripped out all the steel, all the copper, all the cables, everything. It's literally ripped down. And we're really struggling to get the mayor of Krugersdorp, along with the council, to actually get that place back up and running. Because, like, for example, Ninth Day Animal Shelter, they are currently taking care of 200 plus dogs, and they don't have a constant sponsorship. They purely rely on public donations. It costs them on average minimal 1,000 rand a day just to maintain with feed, and that's excluding all their veterinary bills. That's excluding everything that's still outstanding. That's excluding December that's coming up. And I mean, as all of the listeners out there, as they know, you do unfortunately get those one or two reckless people that would do that. Basically, they would be very irresponsible with fireworks and abuse dogs. So we're just trying to just like give them a little boost for December, towards the new year, just to try and get them a little bit of stress off their shoulders, if you want to put it like that.
You know what scares me is the fact that Christmas is coming up, and what normally happens is parents give presents, you know, and every small kid wants a dog. Now you go into the new year, school starts, and all of a sudden the dog's now old news. And
parents' responsibility.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And what happens then is either they give the animals up, or they just don't care for them. Now you've got an organization like the Ninth Day Animal Shelter that really go out of their way, and they really want to help the animals. Now, if you know Krugersdorp as a community, it's very poor. Obviously, every area has got their rich areas, but the fact of the matter is that you know, they're really trying to make a difference, and people aren't getting involved. So, you know, we need to get celebrities involved, and I'm not calling myself a celebrity, but at least now with SA Bachelor, I've got a platform.
Definitely.
And that's why I entered. You know, obviously, we do a lot of work with cancer and all that stuff as well, but everyone knows that. But you know, why not help animals for change other?
Definitely. And you also the Wild Heart Foundation. But going back to the Nine Day Animal Shelter, how can people help? How financially can they give dog food? What can they do to help this cause?
Well, you know what? Obviously, if they're able to give funds, then, you know, they can contact us and we'll put them in the right direction. It is a non-profit organization. But, you know, even if they just sponsor food, Francois actually got a whole bunch of food sponsored. He sent me a photo a couple of days ago.
I actually approached Montego, South Africa, and I mean, I sent them the emails like 11 o'clock at night, and literally 9 o'clock the next morning, they send me an email. They're like, listen, this is what we're donating.
That's amazing.
And I got the whole delivery yesterday. They didn't even budge. How can I put it? They didn't even try and rethink.
Yeah, just straight away. Done.
Just straight away. Yeah. Like, listen, here it is. And that's what we're trying to get involved. And I don't know if it's okay. I would like to thank
go for it, yeah,
Swartkrans Go-Kart, the Cradle Market on the R563, for sponsoring me the venue.
If I can just request, if people do come to the show and if they do come to the fundraiser, you know, if you can't donate money, a little can of food or a packet of dog food.
So it's taking place in Krugersdorp, so it's interrupted.
Yeah. Okay. And they can just follow me on Facebook and they'll see all the details. Just bring some dog food for Pete's sake. You know, it's not gonna make you poorer. It really isn't, but it's gonna help. Let's look at 60 rand for
even if you take a tin, a small tin, it's like 14 bucks. I mean, even. You don't even need to sponsor dog food. If you can just come through for the day, join the festivals, it's running from 9 in the morning to 6 at
and
night.
And it creates awareness. You know, tweet and Facebook and stuff like that. That's the way you get it done.
Okay. Entrance, we're charging a little bit entrance fee. It's 10 bucks entrance fee.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Of which all of that is going directly to charity. The event organizers, the people of the venue, myself as an organizer, the artist, no one is earning anything at all. It's purely for charity.
Definitely. And that's what makes it that much more rewarding, obviously.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Definitely. And then, obviously, moving away from domestic animals, you're also very big with rhino poaching and rhino orphans. The orphanage that's part of the Wild Heart Foundation, it's the first specialist, dedicated, non-commercial center that cares for orphaned and injured baby rhinos with the aim of releasing them back into the wild. So what are you guys doing for that?
You know what? I've, through cancer, the Cancer Association of South Africa, I actually met CJ Carrington, and she's an incredible, her and Paul Oxen, he's a very well-known photographer, and they started the Wild Heart Wildlife Foundation, and I met her by emceeing with her at some cancer events, and she spoke to me when I heard that I'm, you know, one of the finalists for SA Bachelor, and she said to me, Emmanuel, you've always wanted to get involved. You're going to have the platform. How about you get involved? And I said to her, well, you know what? Why are you even asking? I will do it in a heartbeat. And that's how I got involved. So next year, obviously at the moment, whenever they need something, I just share it on social media and I get my people involved to try and you know, raise funds and even just get uniforms for the anti-rhino, you know, I
the
call
Rangers.
Them the Rangers, but yeah. I call them the Brigade.
Okay.
But next year we want to have a couple of events where we're actually gonna raise funds so that they can feed the orphan rhino. What do you call it? I don't even know.
The cubs.
Well, yeah. I also call it a cub. It yeah. sounds funny now.
I think
saying.
They are called cubs, rhino cubs.
But I mean, they're so damn cute.
Yeah, no.
But
100%.
People forget that they need to eat. They need medicine.
And obviously, their parents have been poached, and it's really a sad thing.
Absolutely. And all this costs money. This is a non-profit organization, exactly. Once again, and they need help.
Definitely. And moving towards, you said you are very big with cancer awareness and childhood cancer. You said, quote, speak of childhood cancer, growing up as a child, I never thought about anything that could go wrong. All I worried about was playing in the dirt, climbing, falling out of trees, and whether the other kids liked me or not. What I didn't realize was there was kids with the exact same age as me that never had the joys of childhood. So this is towards childhood cancer. And you were also awarded a certificate of appreciation from the Cancer Association of South Africa for making a difference in the fight against cancer. So very, very well done on that.
Thank you very much.
Very well done. And why is cancer such a big thing to you? Has it someone personally been affected by cancer?
Do you know what? I've got I'm surrounded by only women. I've got I had three sisters, and one passed away 22 years ago. Both my other sisters had cancer, and my elder sister, when I was very small, I was like 5 or 6, I didn't even realize this. She was in grade 11, which was back then standard 9, and she had ovarian cancer. Wow. You know, at such a young age. And then my other sister, a couple of years ago, had a melanoma, which is one of the most aggressive cancers. Luckily, and then my mom as well.
Wow.
You know, and all three of them, luckily it was caught in time and they didn't have to go through the whole chemo thing, but it doesn't make a difference. Once it actually hits home and you see how close it is to your own personal space, then you start realizing, well, you need to make a difference. And a lot of people just don't care. They're like, oh, okay, cool, we went through it, now move on. I'm not like that. Unfortunately, you know, I was raised by a mom who really cares, and she really, you know, would give her last piece of chicken, like you call it, on her plate for her kids and for other people. And if I can just help one person, even if it's just raising awareness that people take their kids, you know, to get tested, then I've, you know, done my job. So
yeah, I think the main thing is early detection, obviously.
Especially in children, because yes, people would tend, oh, you know, they ran around the whole day, that's why they're tired. Meantime, they've got leukemia.
Yeah,
100%. You know, and once they find out, it's already too late. And that's the biggest problem. I mean, Michael Bublé at the moment, international star, and his little son has liver cancer.
Yeah, I read that. Yeah, I mean, crazy.
You don't have to be a poor person or the richest person. This happens to everyone.
Affects everyone, 100%. Absolutely. And lastly, summing up, we are running out of time, unfortunately. With your billing, when we last spoke, you did the awareness campaign called Resolve. Has that taken off? What's in it for the next year? I know I've seen on social media another Western Province girl was badly, badly bullied.
Oh,
very,
yeah,
very terrible video. Obviously, we chatted firstly about the Durban boy that got bullied. Where are you traveling with your Resolve campaign?
Well, you know what? I've just got to mention quickly that one of the kids that from one of the schools that we spoke about when I was at Cliff Central, remember that boy that got bullied there? One of those kids contacted me this week, and I'll actually show you the WhatsApp afterwards, saying to me, because I gave him advice, it wasn't really bullying, but it was almost, him and his mom just didn't get along. And I gave him the advice, have you ever spoken to your mom? You know, go speak to her. Sit her down and say to her, Mom, you will listen to me now. This is what I'm worried about. This is what the problem is. And I, you know, got a message from him this week saying to me, thank you for the advice. I took your advice. We haven't had a fight since. We've never gotten along so great. And your job is a blessing to us, which, you know, that makes it all worthwhile.
Yeah, one laugh touch, as you've said, makes a huge difference.
Absolutely. So Resolve, you know, it's been around for 3-4 years now. And just with SA Bachelor, I kind of pushed it aside because I was just too busy.
Yes.
And I was busy with the Talk Initiative, which is basically the same thing. And going forward next year, we're actually gonna combine the two. So anti-bullying is going to become a major part of the Talk Initiative, which is, I'm so excited about that.
That's great. That's really amazing. And the last question everyone has, how long are you going to be a bachelor for?
Well, you know what? I signed a contract for the next year at
okay,
least.
Okay, yes.
So,
so you're obliged to still be a bachelor. Is that what
well,
it is?
You know what? I can go into a relationship, but I can't get engaged or married. So
okay,
the fact is that I'm going to stick to those rules for the next year until probably November, and but I'm you know what, I'm open to dating again.
Yeah, sure.
It's just, you know, it's not the easiest thing.
No, 100%.
With my schedule.
Yeah, no, definitely more. Yeah, no time for other people. You obviously have, well, obviously with your campaigns, but I mean for a significant other per se. Yeah,
absolutely. You've got to make time for love. You know, you
yeah,
have to.
Definitely, it doesn't happen by itself.
Absolutely.
But yeah, this has been an honestly amazing chat. I really looking forward to tonight, the Little Shop of Horrors.
Well, you are going to enjoy it.
Thanks so much. I really appreciate.
Thank you, Benji, and thank you for coming through. I know you're going to enjoy it tonight.
I cannot wait.
I can't wait. We're going to have to do another follow-up. An hour is not long enough.
I fully agree. It really isn't. And that was Emmanuel Peterson, SA Bachelor of the Year for 2016, a man with a really big heart and making a lot of difference in a lot of people's lives. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thanks, Benji. CliffCentral.com.